So this morning we're going to do things a bit different. So just because we want to give ourselves to the Lord and to the Holy Spirit, and not just doing the things because we used to do it. So I'm going to do a small part of my preach this now, just now in this moment, because it's confirming what Claude just said. So the word that I have in my heart is about redigging the wells. Om die putte weer skoon te maak, sodat die water kan vloei. Redigging the wells. And what I believe in my spirit is that, preparing for this morning, is that what happens with us as individuals and with the church, is that without knowing it, the enemy comes and block up the wells of living water in our lives and in the church. So we have to frequently go back to the places where we know in our lives we find life in Christ. And then just open up the wells again so that the water will flow. We do it by repentance. That's how we do it. We come before the Lord and we ask the Lord that He will show us what happened in our lives, what happened in the church, so that the living water of God is not flowing as it should flow in our lives. Because that's who He is. He wants to bless us. He's a good Father. He wants to take us to places of living water. He's not into religion, dead religion. He's into life. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm life. So if we lose the life of Jesus, if we lose the life of Christ in ourselves and in the church, there's nothing to it. Come on, you're just going to church on a Sunday morning. As ons nie die lewe ervaar van Christus in ons lewe nie. Nou, ek weet elkeen van julle het 'n getuienis van wat gebeur het in jou lewe. Dis hoekom jy vanoggend hierso is. Jy kom soek na dit wat lewe is. Is ek reg? En Jesus het daai uitnodiging gemaak en gesê kom na my toe almal wat? Almal wat? Almal wat dors het. Wie van julle het vanoggend dors? Ek het dors, ek het genoeg gehad van kerk. I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm looking for something that will bring life in myself, life in the church. So, can I read? So I want to read from the start, just a few scriptures, and then we're going to worship again and wait upon the Lord and see what He does this morning. So let's start from the beginning. I just want to show you how good a Father He is for us. I can't remember the preach. Yeah, start from the beginning. Let's see what said. So listen to this. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log. In some translations it says a tree. And he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His eyes and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. And then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water or wells and 70 palm trees. And they encamped there by the water for a month and a half, for 45 days. So they found water. So when I read through this, I asked the Lord, just show me something, Father. And He said, you know what? So He led them through the wilderness of life. Sometimes we get into this life and we find it not so easy. It's like a wilderness, am I right? And it tastes bitter. Sometimes life can taste bitter. And then God brings us to a place where He says, you know, you need something to make it sweet again. So God Himself showed Moses a tree, a log, and He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And I just sensed in my spirit, Jesus was hanged on a tree. So if you find the cross, you find the tree of Jesus in your life, life will become sweet. Although it is bitter, it will become sweet. It was just showing us by symbolism what's happening when you find Jesus. It's not making the circumstances. They are still in the wilderness, but life is sweet for them. Water is sweet. And then he led them from that place. He led them to a wonderful oasis. In some translations, it says there was no such place in the wilderness. He created it for them. 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. Just imagine. You're going through the wilderness and all of a sudden you find this place. And there they encamped for a month and a half. And they were just filled with fresh water and rest and palm trees. I mean, it's like Hawaii, man, or Durban on the beach or wherever. They were traveling through the wilderness and all of a sudden they found a beach full of water, palm trees and grass and everything. I lay me na waters waar daar rus is. Na groen weivelde lay me in. That was what it was. That's the place. He's a good father. He wants us to experience life. Not just struggling through life, but life in Christ. So the first thing that I want to tell you this morning is that the way that you see God, the way that you see Him, that's the way that you will relate to Him. Maak het sin wat ek sê volgende. Die eerste ding, die eerste prentjie wat jy van die Here het, gaan bepaal hoe jy met Hom 'n verhouding het, gaan jou intimiteit met Hom bepaal. En dis wat hy vir hulle bewys. He wanted to show them, I'm a good father. Listen, this is what I have for you. Even in the wilderness. 12 wells of water for the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 is just a figure of completeness. That's what it is. 70 is a figure, 70 palm trees is a figure symbolic in the scripture for maturity, for wholeness. So God just led them to a place where they find completeness and wholeness in Him. And that's what they will do for us. But the word is redigging the well. So what happens is, through life, what we experience is that through life, the wells that God gave us of life, spiritual wells, it gets blocked up by the things that we allow to clutter the well. And I believe this morning God wants to invite us again and say, listen, I want to clear your well this morning again. Amen. Every one of us. I want to live in that place. I don't want to be religious. Dit gaan nie net oor my stilte tyd nie. Dit gaan oor hoe ek leef as ek wakker word en vanaand as ek gaan slaap. It's like that well should be flowing every moment of my life. Ek moet die Here kan ervaar die hele tyd in my lewe. That's who He is. The Holy Spirit. Ons gaan nog 'n bietjie verder bedien oor dit vanoggend, maar die Heilige Gees. The Holy Spirit is that well of living water inside of us. Jesus himself said, "Come to me, those who are thirsty can drink and what streams not just one stream. Streams of living water will flow from your inner being." Se graag. Jy gaan eers van dit drink. And you will never get thirsty again. That's what it says. So if this is not the reality, we're just into doing church better. Dis hoekom ek en Claude gesê het, Lord help us. We not just want to do it differently, just because for the sake of being different. We want to find life, Lord. Ek meen, ek kan gaan hier gaan staan met al my notas, skrif gelees het, al die punte, 7 punte hier, 8 punte daar, en hoe my beter verhouding met die Here te hê. It's not just about knowledge. Ek sê nie daai goed is verkeerd nie, but we don't have life in ourselves. This thing is going to get bored. My verhouding met die Here en met kerk gaan net a meeting of the board. Dis nou nie die board of directors nie, dis die vervelige ouens. Meeting of the board. So ons kom by mekaar. Dis hoekom die kerk van Jesus so swaar kry op hierdie stadium is just because it's all the same. We're not supposed to do the church better. We're supposed to find the life of Christ. Amen. Is julle met my hierdie volgende? So kom ons aanbid en ons gaan dan, soos wat die Here ons lei, na die volgende ene toe. Kom ons aanbid hom volgende. So, can I ask you this morning, as an individual, is your well flowing? Het jy die put gegrawe in jou eie lewe? Het jy water gevind? Is there life inside of you? Do you know that you know that you know this morning? It's not a thing of being religious, just being religious, but I know that I found the life of Jesus in myself. And I can hear His voice. I can experience His love. And I can hear the Holy Spirit working in my heart. That's what it means to find the life of Christ. So, give yourself this morning to the working of the Holy Spirit. And if we ask ourselves to come before the Lord, and then just maybe give yourself. Just be honest this morning. If you know, there are so many things in life that will just block up the well. There are so many things. So we're going to start with ourselves. Before we go over to maybe what's happening in the church, I want to share about the church as well this morning. But let's start with ourselves this morning and be honest. Because I think one of the things of being intimate with the Lord is to be honest about yourself. Am I right? Even in my marriage with Letty, I need to be honest. Don't put up a facade or try to be false or pretend something that's not there. So I don't want to be pretending with the Lord. I want to be honest with Him. And when I'm honest, I'm intimate with Him. And I share my heart with Him. It's all about sharing your heart with Jesus. And therefore, we can come before Him without being fearful that He will zap us or whatever. But that His love will come upon us and He will help us to find life again. So that's my quest in my relationship with Jesus, is that I've got enough experience of just doing the things for sake of doing it. And I didn't find life in Christianity. I didn't find life in the church. But I'm old now. And at this stage, I said to Gary and I, we just spoke a few moments, and I said to him, you know what happens when you get older? You realize how many things are just fake in your life. It's just fake. That's all. It's just fake religion. You realize it. God shows it to you so that you can come to Him. Actually, there's nothing. We're not talking about something. We're talking about the person. We're talking about Jesus. So let's read John 4, 13, 14. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That's beautiful. So I have this belief in myself. Everyone that's created on earth, every human being has been created with a thirst. I would call it a thirst for God. Everyone, saved, unsaved, believer, unbeliever, churchgoer, not a churchgoer, every one of us has been created with a hunger and a thirst for God. That's why we are created, to be in connection and to be in relationship with Jesus. Am I right? So, if you don't find Jesus, what happens is that you will try to fill that void in your life. You will want to fill it. And people, they think that they fill it. Some fill it with maybe alcohol. Some fill it with drugs or sex or porn or money. Let's get more real. You can fill it with money. You can fill it with sport. You can fill it with rugby. I see some of the men around my age and Afrikaans speaking guys, they're so passionate about the Springboks in Ireland. I mean, it's wonderful to watch the test, but you know what? That's all that it is. Hulle is so passievol, maar daar's niks verder in hulle harte nie. It's all about the sport. I love rugby and I watched it last night with Claude. I mean, but some of it, yeah, because I got so angry. But still, I can't allow that thing to come into that place in my life that was supposed to only be filled with Jesus. Never. Otherwise, that will become an idol. Rugby is wonderful, but it's not an idol in my life. Nothing should be an idol in your life. Jesus should be the only person that will fill that void in your life. And that happened to me many years ago, 1993. I came to a place where I realized not farming, the money, and not the leadership in my life, not my kids, not my wife, not nothing will fill that place in my life. It's only meant for Jesus. That's why he said, come to me. Isaiah 12, 3 to 6 says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy. Oh, you can stay with that first one, thank you. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. I can tell you this morning, that was the most wonderful time in my life when I met Jesus. And if I'm not careful, I will lose the joy of my salvation. And that's what it means to be in relationship with the Lord, is to be thankful every day that He saved me. He took me out from darkness and He put me into His kingdom of light so that I can know Him. And then, then what happens? Life happens. Life happens. And then I got busy again. I mean, I met the Lord, and I had this wonderful experience of being born again, filled with the Spirit, seeing Jesus. And then life happened again. I got so busy. Back into the busyness of life. I'm a responsible guy. I'm responsible for many things in my life. And sometimes I just said, you know what, I have to do this. And yet, ons is verantwoordelik vir ons kinders, vir ons finansies. Ons moet werk, ons moet brood verdien. Ons moet al die goeders doen. Dit is nie verkeerd nie. Maar ergens langs die pad, sê Markus 4 vers 19, het my 'n skrif wat ek geleer het deur my lewe. Hy sê, daar's drie goed wat kom en verstik en smoor die fontein van lewe. Dit staan net so daar in die woord. Wat is dit? Die sorge van hierdie lewe, die verleiding na rykdom en die begeerlikhede na allerhande dinge. Dis in die Afrikaans. Mark 4:19. That's what happens. And it smothers, it clutters. It smothers the fire and it clutters the well. En die rivier vloei nie. So hoe lyk dit vanoggend met jou? As jy weet ek praat met jou, né? En die Here praat met my en met jou vanoggend. Can I ask you this morning? Before the Lord, are you really convinced that you found the life of God? Maybe you have found it once and you lost it. Maybe you're struggling to find it because life happens every day. And the only thing Jesus said, He didn't say, go and do this and that and obey all my commands and do this and go to church and make sure that you're very devoted and make sure you give your tenth and everything and then you will find life. No, He didn't say that. We need to do it. But he said what? Come to me. So how does it work for me, Len? How does it work for me? I know that I know. When I go to Jesus and I share my heart with Him, and I live in that place. I share with Him all my emotions, all my fears, all my sins, all my struggles. I speak to Him as my Father, and I share it with Him. And I confess of all my sins. Wie van julle doen nie meer sonde nie? Ek wil hê daai ou moet my help asseblief. And I do it. I find that place before the Lord where I'm rudely honest with myself. I'm not pretending anything. You know what? Then I find life. It's in that moment Jesus reached out to me and He shows me who He is. He forgives me. He heals me. He brings peace in my heart. He gives me joy. He gives me vision. He gives me hope. He actually gives enough of His love in my heart so that I can love Him back. And love other people. That's what it means to find life in Jesus. And then I know the river is flowing. That's what it means to have a relationship with the Lord. Without that, no river will flow. No well will be enough for you. You will still be busy in the busyness of this world. You will still have to take the kids to school every morning and take them to sport on Saturdays. You will still have to do it. But if you don't find Jesus, that stuff will take away the intimacy with the Lord. That's what it is. And for you, you get dry. You just dry. Jy's net droog. So can we be honest before the Lord this morning? Julle hoor wat ek sê vanoggend, né? It's no condemnation on this thing. It's an invite from Jesus. Come back to me again. Come and sit at my feet. Be a Mary to me, not a Martha. Don't try and do everything. Jesus, I'm faithful. Can I tell you this morning? Faithfulness does not equal intimacy with the Lord. Martha was faithful. She served the Lord. She didn't sin. She didn't do wrong. But she thought, this is the way that I will get to Jesus' heart. But Mary just sat at his feet. She worshipped him, listened to his words, and received more than Martha received. So that's what we need. That's what I need. I need time with the Lord. I need to get up early in the morning, spend time with Jesus. Read his word, yes, for sure. But it's not about just doing word. It's listening to his voice. Listening to what he says. And just love him for who he is. And then at that point, I can feel life coming into myself. And I want to live in that place. It's not just for when I'm in my inner room. It's not net wanneer ek in my binnekamer is. I want to live in that place. Does it make sense? So can we be honest before the Lord this morning? I want us to pray for one another. It's a good place to be. If you're rudely honest this morning before God, say, God, I think I lost it. I want you to give it to me again, please, Lord. Please, Lord, let the life flow in my life. And if you've got that prayer in your heart this morning, I want you to just give yourself a prayer. So can we stand again as a church? So if you want prayer, let's just stand in groups of 5-6 people coming together. You can form it yourself. So was that good? Was that good? Yeah. Was that good? Yeah, wonderful. So, well, just thinking this morning, and I'm going to ask Gary and maybe Claude to help me with this, but if you can maybe find out what the 12 wells at the oasis of Elim were, what they're standing for, like symbolically, please tell me. I'd like to know what Jesus meant with it. Is it not interesting that in the word is the Here, ons lees nie altyd, ons lees die goeders, maar is interessant, hy weet precies wat gaan gebeur in die toekomst. En alles wat hy in die woord in sit is symbolies. Nee, 12 pitte is symbolies. 70 bome is symbolies. So Jesus wys vir ons waar verstaan het. Ek wens so ek het 'n beter insig in dit gehad. But I believe this morning that one of the wells God was meant it to be was the intimacy that we have with Jesus. The relationship that we have with Jesus. It starts with that. Ek glo dit in my hele hart. So one of the wells was our relationship with God. If it's flowing, then there will be something to drink from frequently. Amen? And so, just in short, before we end off this morning, I want to share two other wells, I believe, that God showed me that needs to flow in the life of the church. And the one is the life of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Lord. When we come together as a church, that we will be focused on meeting with Jesus before we are focused to fellowship with one another. Hello? Can I say it again? When we come together as a community on Wednesday evenings, it's so wonderful to fellowship with one another. But as believers, we need to fellowship with Jesus first and foremost. So that's why worship should be a spontaneous thing for us when we come together. I mean, you can worship when you chat with someone. You don't have to be religious. You can worship when you have a cup of coffee in your hand. God will not take offense. Sit near die koffie, laat jy my kan aanbid nie. It's not like that thing. We've got a father. We've got a friend in Jesus. I do need to respect him. I understand that. But I mean, we've got a relationship with the Lord. And that means I need to find him more in a spontaneous way of life. I need to understand him more, need to hear him when I'm speaking with you, when I drink coffee, when I go to a meeting, a business meeting, wherever, he needs to be real in my life. So when we come together on a Sunday morning, if we can change this, if we can change this, we're not going to do all the things faithfully like we did for many years. We need to be faithful. Faithful is not it's not sin. Faithfulness is not sin. But we need to be fresh as well. Find the freshness of God. He's an adventurous God. Come on. Hy is nie 'n ou professor wat daar sit met dik brille nie. He's an adventurous God. I mean, if you read your Bible and you see what they did by following Jesus and following God, it was like an adventure. It's not boring time with God. And he's still the same God, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Following Jesus in today's life is an adventurous thing. As jy bereid is om hom te volg, I can keep you busy. Hetty and I, we farmed for many years in the Free State. And then God called us to a new life from 98 to now. That's 26 years in ministry now. And it was an adventure. Ek dink ons het in Swellendam net 6 keer getrek in een dorp. That was an adventure. As jy nou vir my sê, ek moet weer gaan trek, ek word naar. Say, you need to speak to me audibly, God, please. I will not just follow an instruction to move now again. Ek kan nie meer nie, ek is oud. Ek kan nie meer bokse sien nie. It's an adventure, just following Jesus. A few years ago, he said to me, yeah, I want you to go to Worcester for 2 years, just to help the church over there. He didn't say two years, but he said, pack up your stuff and go to Worcester. He said, Worcester. Van Swellendam maar Worcester toe. You must be joking. You can't even compare those two places, man. I mean, it's like heaven and halfway to heaven. It's not the same place. If you go through Worcester, I said many times, I don't want to live here. Jesus said, I want you to go to Worcester. Really, Lord? So okay, let's pray about this. And then we prayed and we heard nothing. Nothing. I said to Andrew, if you want to go, me to go to Worcester, I'll go. Just because you want me to go there. I'll help the church. But I didn't hear anything. But that doesn't matter because God spoke to my leaders. And I follow what he wants me to do, my leader. And I did. I go there and luckily just for 2 years. Then I went back to Swellendam. But it's an adventure. Come on. Following God's adventure. We can't box him. We can't just think he's the same. Everything that he does is just the same. Coming to church on a Sunday morning, it should be an adventure. As jy hier inkom, jy weet precies wat gaan gebeur. Dis hoe dit gaan lyk. It's like, you know what? Ek sê baie keer, ek spot hierdie ding. Ek sê, ons is soos melkkoeie. I was a farmer with a dairy. I had a dairy farm. So the dairy cows, they know exactly 6:05 in the morning, they get into the stable and then they stand in the same place. They get the same guy that will milk them. They get the same feed. And then if we don't do it the same, they will not give their milk. Daai koei gaan nie saak nie. Wie van julle weet waarvan praat ek? As jy nie dieselfde goed oor en oor doen nie, sy sê net nee. Dan kan jy daai speen trek, nee, daar kom niks uit nie, dit is droog. Want jy het my nie op dieselfde plek laat staan waar ek gister gestaan het nie. Dus wie van julle weet, dis waar wat ek sê. Dis 'n melkkoe wat so werk, nee. As jy aanhou kar, dan gaat sy vir jou nog skop ook, dat jou die bloed loop. Dis 'n mooi prentjie van die kerk. Precisely. If you don't do it the same, then I'm not into this thing. It's not doing church better. It's an adventure, man. Sometimes you just need to tell one another. You know, few years ago, I got to church on a Sunday morning in Swellendam. And the moment we all got seated and sit down, I said to the guys, okay, this morning you can go, from now, in this moment you can go to to someone else, you can go and have a coffee and have a, like a chat and fellowship. But what about church? No, that's church. Fellowship is church. Loving one another is church. So don't wait for the preach or worship or whatever. I'm not saying you have to do this every Sunday, then you have no church. You can nie, solank jy gewoond is word aan iets, en as nie lewe in dit nie, dan word dit tradities, word gewoontes, wat nie ruimte skep vir die werk van die Heilige Gees nie. As jy hierna toe kom, elke sonoggend behoort jy voorbereid te kom. It's not about Gary and Claude and the worship team and Emil and the deacons and the community leaders. They will be active this morning. It's their responsibility to make sure that everything is working and everything is alive and everything. I'm just a toeskouer. What is that? I'm just a spectator. No, you're not a spectator. I think Jesus wants you to be an active part of this church. Super devoted. You give yourself. And then you come with an expectation. You pray when you come to church in the Sunday morning and you ask Jesus, because you've got this fountain flowing now, you hear his voice, then you, before you come to church, you ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you want me to share with the body this morning? Because you can share with the body. It's not just the preacher. You have the Holy Spirit in you. If you're alive in Jesus, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Then you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there something that you want to tell me about the church this morning? Maybe I can encourage the church in the time that we are now. Maybe you've got a prophetic word, Lord. That's why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to strengthen the body, om die lichaam te versterk. Dis waarvoor dit daar is. That's making room for the Holy Spirit. Then we come here this morning, or every morning on a Sunday morning, or in the community. First we meet with Jesus. He's the most important person. So, Jesus, we want to worship you. Before we do the announcements, we didn't even do announcements this morning. And there are many announcements in Josh Jane. But you know what? We can send it to you by WhatsApp. You will get it. Somewhere down the line you will get it. But we want you this morning to meet with the Lord. This is his house. This is his family. So if we need to press into this place. So I believe there's a much deeper place that you guys can find in Montague. And people will know from outside, you know what? When you go to Montague Josh Jane, it's not about Josh Jane, it's about meeting with Jesus. His presence is there. And change is happening. All the time I'm growing into the stature and into the getuienis, the testimony of Jesus in my life. That's what it is. Just because we meet with him. Does it make you excited? That's a well flowing. But Jesus said a wonderful scripture in Jeremiah 2:13. Can you read? Is jy nog met my? Sorry, jy is so wakker soos 'n akker. Jeremiah 2:13, is it there? Oh my soul, sorry. Ek dink ek het hom dan vanoggend gekry. But say it's quick. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So, I don't. What does hewed mean? Hewed, dug out, okay. Cisterns, weet ons, is een houer, né? Wanneer jy Jerusalem toe gaan, hulle kry reën in die winter soos ons, het hulle in die strate in Jerusalem, het hulle vir hulle gate onder die grond gegrou, groot tanks, klip tanks, so dat die reënwater wat in die winter daar val, loop in die water af, and that's a cistern, and it fills up the cistern, so that they can use the water in summer, when it's dry and hot. So what Jesus said, I am the fountain of living waters. But what you do as a nation or as a church is that you dug out for yourself a system to keep water. And you know what? That water is not my water. So many times we get so into church and all the administration of church, all the pastoral work in church, all the activities in church, all the programs in church, all the equipping in church, am I right? So we get so used to it that we're not drinking from the fountain himself, and that's Jesus. This is a good question. Will we really know when you go home that Jesus was not here this morning? Kan jy so gaan en sê, ek weet nie of die Here vanoggend daar was nie. Dis 'n goeie vraag, is ek reg? Because we have to know that we met with the Lord. Natuurlik, die Here is alomteenwoordig. Hy is altyd hier. But there is a special way of meeting with God. That you know. Because he gave a promise. He said, if two people come together in my name, there I will be. It's different from when you're alone. Anders het hy nie die promise gegee nie. Het gesê, wat twee of meer saamkom, wat twee of meer, hy sê nie een of meer nie. Twee of meer, want twee is meer as een. Wat twee of meer saamkom in my naam, sal ek in hulle midde. This is something special when we come together as a body. En dis wat ons moet kan beleef. Dis wil ek wil jy met saam met my hierdie ding bid in jou hart en hierdie begeerte en dit bid vir hierdie gemeente. Dis jou bydrae dat as jy by die huis is en jy bid vir Sunday morning, you come to church Sunday morning, then you pray, Lord, please help us. Be there this morning, Father, please. We know that you're everywhere, but we pray this morning, we want to meet you in a special way. We want to see your power. We want to see you meet with us and reveal yourself to us. But because that's why we will know Jesus was here. He will reveal himself to us by changing lives. That's where I am with the fountain of the Holy Spirit in the church. We need to see more of the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on. We need to see healings come. Physical healings, emotional healings, spiritual healings. We need to see deliverances. We need to see devils. I believe devils are really comfortable in church. They're not challenged. Men nie na iemand langs jou kyk nie. Moenie hom soek nou nie. But I believe it. I really believe it. Devils will never comfortable in the presence of Jesus. Never. Al het begin bewe. En nou sê Jesus, hy leef saam met ons. Hy is in ons. En die Heilige Gees is hier. So I think we got so used just doing church. There's no spiritual power anymore. I've got this prayer in my heart. That's one of the wells. We need to see the power of the Holy Spirit again in our lives. We need to see salvations. We need to see people be born again. Not just finding a better church, but people out there without Jesus. Founding Jesus again. Finding Jesus again in church. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I'm ending off. Sure. Are you okay with me? It's a long morning. But the third one, I believe I want to share this morning, is the fountain of love. I believe one of the fountains, of the 12 fountains, is the fountain of love, the well of love amongst us. And there's no scripture for this, by the way. I mean, like, really confirming what I'm saying, I just sense it in my spirit that one of the wells that God wants to see flowing in the church is the well of love. So 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8. Listen to this well when it's flowing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. In other words, love is being humble. Am I right? That's what it says. It's not arrogant or rude. If there's a humility in church, if there's a humility amongst our people, the fountain is flowing. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes in all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. But When love is flowing, you will experience this. When the well is there in church, you will experience love that is patient and kind. People do not envy or boast. People are not arrogant and rude. They do not insist on their own way. They're not irritable. Resentful, what does that mean? Resentful? It's okay, resentful. Do not hate someone, but you really love. Hate in the sense of keeping a distance between you and other people. In that sense. Taking offense. Ek kom by daai ding, né? Love bears all things. Verdra alles. Glo alles. Hoop in alles. Het hou net nooit op nie. That fountain is flowing, it never ends. So, wat is die goed wat die vijand in hy put kom ingooi? Om daai ding te stop. Taking offense. Oh man, that is, I think, one of the biggest rocks blocking the well in church is taking offense. It's still the bait of Satan. So, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, cold, hardened hearts, pride. You can call it all that stuff. That is what the enemy uses to block up the well. And the river is not flowing. The fountain is not flowing. The well is dry. And we need to redig it. And the way that you redig it is you actually come before the Lord and you ask the Lord yourself, Father, show me, is there anything in my life? Is there maybe such a thing as pride in my life? Or unforgiveness? Or offense? Do I battle with offense? Or bitterness even? Because I believe when you take offense, it will grow to a place of unforgiveness, which will grow to a place of bitterness, which will grow to a place of you get completely sick. Physical sickness and spiritual sickness come from a place of bitterness in your life. Am I right, Gary? That's what it is, eh? And at the end of it, like what Deity says, it will bring death, spiritual death. Because if you walk around with this thing in your life, you will eventually die, spiritually and physically. Because you need to forgive. We have to. You've got actually 2 seconds to, when someone hurts you, 2 seconds to forgive, and 3 seconds not to take offense. Come on. You have to make it in yourself. You have to convince yourself this thing is dangerous. It's like poison. It's like rat poison. You know what rat poison is? Huh? Rat poison is, I think, only 0.25% of what they eat is poison. The rest is just food. But they come back again and back again and back again and they eat because they think it's lekker. But what they don't know is they eat poison. So taking offense is precisely the same. If you walk around and you distrust people, you can't love people, and you take offense easily, and you don't forgive, it's like rat poison. You get intoxicated. What is vergiftig? Poisoned. You get poisoned so easily. Ek verstaan, nou een is net so gevaarlik. It's net dieselfde. Okay. Does it make sense? Come on, man, church. This is a good word this morning, I believe, for us as a church. Not just in Montague, but for all the churches in the surrounding areas. For a church, I believe for the church of Jesus, is just be aware that you will look at the wells in the church. Are they flowing? Unblock them, man. And how do we unblock them? That's very easy. You don't have to go and fight the enemy with everything that you have. And try to kill the enemy and put on spiritual armor. You have to do that, I understand. But actually, the first place that you go to is Jesus. And you repent. And the moment you do it, You're honest before the Lord as a church. I believe this is a word where the church come together. Sit before the church, the leadership of the church and the church. Maybe you need a family meeting. Because if you're part of the church, you're part of the family. In the family meeting, you come together and then the family leader of the house asks the family, so tell us, how are we doing with the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you guys believe we've got a well that's flowing, or are we blocked? And if we discern that we are blocked as a family, then we come before the Lord as a family. We stand before Him and say, Father, forgive us. We block the Holy Spirit in this place. We block the well of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord. Does it make sense? And the moment you do it, that's what I know, God. The moment you do it, He will forgive you. And the moment you do it, you will see the fruit of it. You give yourself to it. And the moment, in that moment, you will start experiencing the well of the Holy Spirit flowing in church. Because that's just who God is. He forgives. And He doesn't say, okay, I forgive you, but you will have to suffer just a little longer with this. Just because you're so naughty or whatever, you know. So there's going to be a dry well for a long time before you see any water just because you didn't heed to my voice. No, no, no. He's a good father. He takes us to an oasis of 12 wells and 70 palm trees, green grass. And He did it for a rebellious people. Not just a loving, kind people, but they were so rebellious. They were always moaning and groaning. Still, He gave them so much. So let's pray this morning. Will you stand with me?